As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host. As an aquaculture business, how do you fund a project when it is in research and development phase with no history of return on investment? This is one of the topics that we're going to be talking about in this episode dedicated to answer that question. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. If you listen to episode 4, Matt Craze talked about land-based aquaculture systems and how he's helping the seafood industry gather more data to keep us informed as aquaculturist entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 5 of the Business of Aquaculture. This episode, I'm delighted to have Mr. Joel Solomon. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Joel Solomon is the founding partner of Renewal Funds, Canada's largest mission venture capital firm at $200 million assets under management, investing in climate technology and organic foods in Canada and the United States. Renewal Funds is GIIRS rated, a founding Canadian B Corporation, 5 times best for the world, a 1% for the planet member, and recognized as an impact assets top 50 impact fund managers. Joel is a 2021 Clean 50 Canada Lifetime Achievement Honoree, frequent public speaker, board member of the University of British Columbia, co-producer of the Just Economy Institute, and co-author of The Clean Money Revolution, Reinventing Power, Purpose, and Capitalism. Welcome again to the show, Joel. Thank you for gracing our show today. I'm so excited when you said yes. And I'm grateful to Susan Carlson from CIBC because she gifted me your book, actually, The Clean Money Revolution. So, and then here I am talking with you today, Power of Technology, hey?
That's very nice to hear. Well, thank you so much again for having me.
You're welcome. So let's get this ball rolling. So maybe you can tell our listeners, how did you get started in the renewal funds industry? I read your book, so I know a little bit, but maybe straight to the horse's mouth.
Well, I'll start with a brief, longer history and say I am from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and my father was an entrepreneur in real estate, and my mother first had a different career, but in her late 30s, she started artistic photography, and now in her 90s, she is an acclaimed photography artist who's traveled around the world and photographed all kinds of cultures and situations, and I grew up in the 50s and 60s in this southern American city, and I saw a lot of things that disturbed me, and that same mother was a very socially conscious mom, and she made sure to expose me to a lot of the questions and issues in the world and made me very aware that there were many things that I felt needed to be changed, I hoped could be changed. But with the entrepreneur dad, the convergence ended up being a combination of how can business be good for the world and how can we see that if we are successful enough, lucky enough, or have the right kind of package of who we are, there are many opportunities for at least a number of us in this world. And I was excited by the concept that the entrepreneur world, number one, had the opportunity to make a lot of positive change. And secondly, that if we are fortunate enough, for whatever reasons, to have more than enough money, that we have a very significant responsibility to the well-being of society and of the world and of future generations. And so that was the inspiration for me, seeing that the creativity and ambition and motivation of entrepreneurs and business, as well as activism, could be very powerful forces for this concept to make the world better during our lifetimes and contribute to future generations that way.
That's amazing. And I remember reading from one chapter of your book how at a certain point in your journey, you have this dilemma of, okay, how you're going to merge this one. And now you're able to actually fulfill that dream. Because in your story from your book, I remember reading, you were like, I guess, torn from that story wherein, how are you going to, I guess, combine profit and giving back to the world when the concept at such a time was from two different camps. So it's amazing to see how you were able to, I guess, create an emergent. I like that word because it's a combination of two different concepts that at first look, it looks like it's opposing. And yet it's actually a great emerging force on combining the two. So I'm in awe on what you've created.
Well, thank you for that. It's actually quite accessible if one is inspired by that type of vision, because there is so much creativity available in life, and in particular in the entrepreneurial version of life. And if we have an inspiration or we see something that we believe can be improved in society and in the world that can be less harmful in the long term, helping preserve this magic and beauty and incredible opportunity that life and the evolution of life gives us access to, or at least gives some of us access to. And I believe that it's part of the responsibility for any of us and those who do have good access and opportunities that we devote that work, of course, to taking care of our families and those things that matter to us, but also thinking about the long term. And that long term is, how does humanity and the ecology that keeps us supported, how is that going to sustain what will be 10 billion people soon enough? We now know that we do a lot of harm. Much of it was innocent. Other of it is not innocent. But it is up to us as citizens to participate in society. And if we do have the opportunity to be entrepreneurs and create new products and services, they should think about long term. They should think about all of society and ecology. And then with that kind of consciousness, we have a chance to see that many generations will have good lives after us. If we fail to pay attention to the negative impacts that can happen from our ambitions, we are going to create a very difficult challenge for future generations. Once I came to feel that, I knew that money, business, power must have a philosophy underneath that guide us to do what we can to help the whole world.
Absolutely. And you saying that actually reminded me of the book. I'm sure you probably already know the book from Lynn Twist on the soul of money, on how people with more resources are given more responsibility to give back, not just to the environment, but to the society as a whole. And so that's right. Back for me to probably review and read back the book again. So my second question is, in my episode 2 of the podcast, I talked about some of the challenges that the aquaculturists in our industry are facing. And there's twofold in that. That's how to aquaculture the species. And second, how to profit from the species that we're cultivating. Yes. With the current funds and, I guess, companies that you're supporting to be renewable, what are some of the advice, I guess, you can give some of our aquaculturists, entrepreneurs, in terms of how they can merge this of, like, our mandate, for example, in our company is to create the most environmentally beneficial food production operation on land or sea, anywhere in the world. It's a very general concept. And so how to fund that vision so that it actually becomes a reality is a big challenge, especially, I don't know if you know, but the king clam that we produce takes 10 years to grow. And when we go to investors, it's like, oh, we can't have our money go away from us that long. It may not remember us to come back to us. So what would be your best advice for that?
Well, the way the world does business both has accelerating harm and damage from people who choose just to look out for themselves without regard to everyone else or with less regard. But it also gives us opportunity to care very much about the whole system and to choose our activities and how we conduct them, what kinds of chemicals and toxic materials, what kind of impact do we have on ecology and ecosystems where we grow our aquaculture? What effect happens from concentrated growth of species in confined spaces? What are the side effects of that? What is the feed that we use? Where does it come from? And I could go on with that. The point is that everything is ultimately connected. And I believe it is our responsibility as those, if we are those who actually benefit and earn significant profits from how we exploit the ecosystems and the needs of humanity. And we need to continually improve the methods, our understanding of science, our care for people who put their labor into these things. How's the feed produced? How does transportation become involved when we have to ship to markets? And then what kind of businesses, how do we treat employees? How do we use our profits become really the difference in whether we are simply exploiting for ourselves without regard to all of the externalities and side effects, or do we find it more inspiring, more of a legacy, and something that we can believe in more deeply that goes beyond simply the commercial bottom line, but thinks about the bottom line of our neighbors, our ecosystems, and future generations.
I love that. I really love that you mentioned about a word, legacy. When I contacted you, I was mentioning to you about the three pillars of sustainability that became a divine download for me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I call it right now the SHIP method, which is not a good name, but the leadership, partnership, and stewardship. And leadership, when you were talking about, we have to think not only of the company's bottom line, but of our neighbors and everybody else. That to me is under the pillar of leadership, wherein if we have to do the right thing, even though no one's watching, and have sustainable partnerships so that we're in collaboration with people who are in the same mission as we are, then stewardship should be a basketball? A slam dunk.
Slam dunk, yes. Yes. And it is our responsibility, our obligation to think about many generations past us, that our actions today are going to create the world of tomorrow. And we also need to think about how much is enough. If we are successful, ingenious people, we work hard, and we figure out how to create money machines that enable us to do the things we want to do. But eventually, when you accumulate money without an understanding of what you truly want to do with it, it can become dangerous. Because if we're not thinking about the entire ecosystem around how we produce the products and services that we do, then we begin to neglect the larger picture. And future generations will understand even better. It's happening right now. We understand so much more about science, about ecology, about how business and capitalism work. And there is a responsibility to keep doing it better. We know now from science that we have the capacity to destroy a lot of the beauty that life gives us. And there is no more important thing to think about than how our lives, our work, our families will affect the future generations that we hope there are many of that follow us. And how will this planet sustain all of those people? And how can we keep using our intelligence, our creativity, and our smarts to do things better with less harm, more fairly, and in a way that will be around for hundreds of generations.
I like that. And it reminded me again of another book for Simon Sinek, where we start with why, you know, and his latest book on the infinite game. In my mind, this translates to all, we're here not just really for our lifetime here. You mentioned about legacy, the continuity, and it's an infinite game because there will be life after us that if we
right
today, then that should perpetuate some more in a, not only in a sustainable, I like the word infinite, because some of the stories in your book as well on the clean money revolution, I really love how you actually merge also spirituality with business and how it all comes together to, you know, this is Mother Earth we're talking about that we have to take care of, because we're just leasing here. We're not here all the time, but if we do it right, then the people after us should also be taken care of from our actions today.
We need our spiritual and religious organizations to help us remember this. We need our education system to make us informed. We need to pay attention to politics and government and how we will govern 10 billion people together on this planet. There's a lot to think about. And our lives eventually end. And we will someday look back, perhaps from our deathbed, if we're fortunate, and we'll think about the choices that we made. And we will attempt to pass on to our children and those that we influence whatever insights and learning we think we have had, so that all of the future generations, that humanity, will carry forward in a beautiful way that solves problems, makes life better for more of us, and helps this beautiful thing of life carry forward into the long distant future.
Thank you. And my last question to you is, what's one thing you think will still be here 10 years from now? A lot of people talking about trends, the future. So I'm going to reverse that by saying, what's already here now that's still going to be here a decade from now?
Well, what comes to my mind, which will be no surprise from what I've said, I do believe that our moral, ethical, and spiritual base is what will guide us to be constructive, valuable, and may someday be looked back by future generations to be the people who cared and took responsibility for understanding how the systems work, how ecology works, how the economy works, and begin to consider those aspects as how we will create future societies, or be the seeds for them, the inspiration, be elders who are looked back to with gratitude that we actually went deeper and thought about these things and took actions that matter. It's very important, in my view, to consider how much is enough. Once we start thinking about generating profit and success, financial success, it's beautiful to have access to those powerful tools, but it is more beautiful to do so in a way that considers the sanctity of all life, all people, all species, and do the best we can to understand that and have a positive influence. It's not simple, but it's really our responsibility.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. So my biggest takeaway from this episode and with my conversation with Joel is I'm so happy you mentioned about the moral, ethical, and spiritual base. I was interviewing somebody else this morning, and the answer that he gave me in this question is about the truth. And as I ask this same question to all of my guests on the podcast, I'm always reminded that principles that are long-lasting, we're talking about infinite game and about going beyond our lifetime, these are universal truths that will never change. So thank you again for being on the podcast. And why don't you tell our listeners where they can get in touch with you?
Well, I am happy to share my book, especially with people who might need a gift of a book, Clean Money Revolution, and joelsolomon.org. is my website for that book. I'm active on LinkedIn, a little bit less on other social media, but I've settled on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. And joel@renewalfunds.com is our investment business that operates in Canada and the USA, focused on organic food, less toxic households, and climate technologies. And that's our business. I'm a co-founder of that. We've been around for close to 15 years, and we build funds around these topics and help move capital into businesses that matter.
Thank you very much again, Joel. To our subscribers, do leave a review of the podcast so we can get more people to be aware of the value our guests are providing in these conversations. If you're new to the podcast, I'd like to hear from you. And as you know, if you listen to the podcast, you help build a home in the Philippines via the B1G1.com initiative. Thanks, everyone. And thanks again, Joel. I really appreciate your time today.
I'm so honored that you called me.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues, and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.